Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, in our most recent Bible study, last week when we were going through this together, we found out that Paul, a year or so after the first letter that was written that we went through recently, had written this little note back to them, because there was some confusion now, because there was things being said that were not true, they were not factual, but there were things being said that even Paul himself was saying that he didn't say, that the rapture had already taken place, that this had already gone on, that now they're getting ready, and even some notes were saying that they're going to be going now into the tribulation period, and this wasn't really at all consistent to what his first note had said, because you remember how he described in chapters 4 and 5 of his first letter, the kind of discussion was about not just the second coming, but the rapture of the church and then the subsequent second coming. Two different things. The rapture of the church and the second coming are two different things. It kind of blends together kind of sometimes in our minds, but truly the rapture of the church is really at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period, and we'll find out a little bit more about why we can settle in on that thought and why many of us are convinced of that truth, not the least of which is God has not appointed you or I to wrath, and especially the wrath of God being poured out on this world. God hasn't appointed us to that, the Bible says. We are to be delivered. You remember righteous Noah? He was delivered in the ark, taken care of, watched out over, he and his family, in the midst of judgment. We can go through the Bible and find so many instances where we can see this being laid out for us. If we look at this now as we start in chapter 2, it says, and remember, this was the context of the discussion that Paul is having as he even starts this letter. He's wanting to bring back, and you, how many of you last week, you remember what was the focus word or the thought that we talked about, that they had lost really their hope. They had lost the hope that they had in the fact that they would be delivered. And I think sometimes if we think this is all there is, and that there isn't hope that one day we go into the presence of the Lord, ultimate deliverance, totally, right? If there's not that hope, and they were experiencing such oppression, things that we aren't really that familiar with, the kind of oppression and pressures that were happening as believers, and it was, Caesar Nero was we talked about this, he was just a freak, and there's no getting around that. He was a really weird guy. And the kind of pressures the society and the government was putting on them as they were forced, many, to denounce Jesus, to say that Caesar is Lord, or be sent into the arena with the lions. And most all would choose the arena. It's an interesting thing. It's fun to entertain these kind of things once in a while. It's challenging. What would I do? Would it be easier just to, you know, maybe denounce the Lord? Or is it easier to stand up for righteousness? Or is it more difficult to stand up for righteousness? And what would we do in those challenges? It's not easy to stand up for what's right. And these people were in that spot where, man, we're starting to lose hope. What's really going to happen? What's going to go on? So as he starts this in, he says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering to him, we ask you," and this is his plea with them in verse 2, "not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter." How many of you know, you can be troubled sometimes in the spirit? You can be troubled with things in the spirit realm. You just have this sense of, man, I'm just troubled about this matter. And it's kind of a in the spirit thing, either by spirit. Now, you and I can't be, as Christians, as born-again believers, we can't be demon-possessed. I don't believe the Bible declares that, but we can certainly be oppressed. We can certainly, there can be demonic things going on around us that can be pressing in on us. And we can experience the spiritual in the spirit realm. I kind of like liken it to this, like we're caught between the tension of these two places. You know, there's demonic forces at work, and then there's God at work in our lives, and we can get kind of caught in that tension where we're getting pulled a lot of different directions. He says, I don't want you to be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter. You know, our mind, we can get shaken in our mind. We can get shaken and troubled. And by spirit, enemy forces, or by word, something that was said or spoken. Or shaken or troubled by even a letter that was written as if from us. Because there were letters circulating that weren't even written by Paul, and they were saying that they were from Paul, and it was saying that the rapture had taken place and the church had been pulled up, and all these things were kind of false things were being said as though the day of Christ had come. He said, this is his instruction. He says, let no one, in verse 3, deceive you by any means, in any way, by any means. Think about that. So it's not to be deceived by any means, whether it's our own minds getting the best of us, whether it's things we're hearing getting the best of us by word that's being spoken, or as it goes on and says here, even being troubled by a letter that may be circulating that's false. He says, for that day, in the middle of verse 3, will not come unless the falling away comes first, and there is some, we have to discuss these because sometimes there's differing views on certain words, and so we have to discuss them, and then we have to try and draft a conclusion regarding that. In this idea of falling away, it's apostasia is the word, and it can mean a falling away from a doctrinal truth or a doctrinal understanding, and that is likely a possible implication, no doubt. It can also mean this taking away. It can also mean that. So you kind of have to weigh this out. I don't think it changes the context exactly whether you see it either way, because either could be true, whether it's the church being taken out of the way or the fact that people are falling away from the truth doctrinally. I'll let you settle that out. I just got to lay that stuff out for you. You got to think through it and weigh it out. I don't think it changes the context. Let me show you why as we go along for just a moment. That day will not come. This is the day that the church is raptured and taken out of the way, whether unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now, who is this? Oh, it goes on, verse 4. Thankfully, it's not ending. It didn't end. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So, now, we go back to Daniel's prophecies, remember? And we remember Jesus then going back and quoting Daniel's prophecies. And what did Jesus say about that time period and about the beginning? And then we get into it as this Antichrist is revealed. And he then ultimately stands up in about 3.5 years into the 7-year period, around the middle of the tribulation period, unless the abomination which causes desolation. Until that time period, as soon as that happens, the scale's going to fall from those who are in the Jewish people, the scales, because God's still dealing with them, the scales are going to fall from their eyes, and they're going to realize, oh my goodness, we've embraced the wrong person. You see, they're looking for Messiah this moment, today. They're watching in Israel for Messiah. They do not believe a Savior has come. They are looking right now for a man like unto Moses. I read it on their inscription inside the temple institute on the wall. They had a plaque and they said, this is what we're looking for. They're looking for that, this man. And it is ultimately, we know, the Antichrist. And they will buy in on all this. Why would they buy in on all this? Because he's going to make an agreement. He's going to broker a deal a peace deal that's going to seem great to everybody around. He's going to broker this deal where they're going to be able to then start to do their temple worship again and offer sacrifices, which they haven't done for over 2,000 years. Think about that. 70 AD, when Titus came in, tore that temple down, there has not been sacrifice since that time. It's radical. And without the shedding of blood, they're not confused about the law. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. They want to get this fixed, and they are zealous about getting this fixed. I've seen all the lavers. We've seen all of the priest garb that they will wear. I don't mean garb in a bad way. I mean just the clothing, the attire that the priest would wear, the high priest. We've seen all of it. It's in these glass cases. And this is the actual stuff that they're going to wear. And this is the racks for the showbread. They have no temple to put this stuff in right now. The menorah, giant menorah is built. They're waiting to put that in. All those things are just waiting to be placed inside the temple. But there's an issue, isn't there? Right on the Temple Mount, there seems to be a little bit of a problem. And just standing on the Temple Mount, you can feel the spiritual tension that exists. I mean, it's unbelievable. You can just sense what's going on there as the Dome of the Rock Mosque sits right there. Right where Solomon's temple is presumed to have sat. And they want to get a new temple placed. There's all kinds of research constantly debating and trying to work through. The question was asked, how long would it take them to rebuild this? Well, they're ready to go. Stones are set aside. They've got this stuff stashed all over in and around Jerusalem. Take them 4 months. They can get this thing all put up if they got the green light and the go-ahead. Within 4 months, they'd be doing sacrifices. So how far off are we? That's only been within the last 20 years or so, maybe 25, that they've been gathering all that stuff and putting that stuff together. Now, mind you, brothers and sisters, they're not Christians. They're doing all this motivated because of God's word. As Jewish people, they're motivated to get this done. God's definitely stirring them because he wants to get to the one place where the abomination which causes desolation takes place, and his people will all again say, oh no. He wants to be worshipped as God. He's not God. And they're going to see Messiah, Jesus, for who he is. How is that all going to happen? I don't know. We're going to be up in heaven, hanging out with Jesus, enjoying dinner with the Lord at the Feast of the Lamb. Right? We're going to be at the wedding feast. We talked about all that. It's exciting. That's where we're going to be. But all hell is going to break loose. That first 3.5 years, bad, but not so bad. Bad. One world government, one world monetary system, controlled by this Antichrist, who everybody's going to think is, oh yeah, this guy's cool, man. This is great. Sometimes I'm amazed at the choices people in a country can make about who their elected officials are and who they want to lead them. I'm shocked. I'm amazed. We had people come from another country that were certainly, no doubt, extremists of a specific religious group that had just recently, you know, 11 or 12 years ago, bombed our country. We've never even been, you know, under an attack like that. And then we're going to elect someone who's got a similar persuasion religious-wise. I think that's an interesting thing, you know? I mean, Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that. But that's not all I have to say. That's all I'm going to say. How's that, guys? You think about it. You sort it out. I'm not going to sort it out. You vote for who you want to vote for. I'm just saying this is where we're at as a people group, you know, as a whole. And it's interesting, the scales, once all of a sudden certain things go into motion, right? We start saying, and it starts really affecting this really badly. We start saying, whoa, 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 whoa. What's going on? We don't want that guy leading us anymore, right? Well, the Jewish people are going to see, oh, no. From a perspective of worship and stuff, the scales will fall through their eyes, and they'll see Jesus for who he is. Oh, what a great day that'll be. But that is going to issue in a whole nother set of circumstances. For the next 3.5 years, it is going to be hell on earth, literally. as God's judgment and wrath is going to be poured out. This is the thing. Let's go on. This gets very exciting. Do you not remember in verse 5? So we've talked about verses 3 and 4 now. You see, we'll kind of get the picture of that. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? He's going, man, remember, guys, remember. Remember, I told you this. We talked about this, how important this is. And now you know what is restraining. This is important for us to identify in verse 6. And you know now what is restraining. That he may be, now, he, small case, he, this is the Antichrist, that he may be revealed in his own time, the Antichrist, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It's already stirred up, and we see that. The spirit of Antichrist, or this has been at work. It's not brand new. But we're to watch for the signs and the times and to see what's happening that's unique and different from other times, and we see that definitely in our time. And now you know what is restraining, verse 6, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains. Now, in your Bible, is that a capital H? Yes. Only he who now restrains will do so until, another capital H, he is taken out of the way. Who is he? We've got to wrestle this to the ground. We've got to come to terms with that. We've got to know, who is he? What is it that's restraining? It is the Holy Spirit in you. It is the church, the body of Christ, the true living church of Jesus Christ on this earth. I don't care what name's on your building. I don't care what group you want to say you're connected to. If you are connected to the one church that exists, which is universal, Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, universal, that's global. It doesn't matter what brand or I like to think of a lot of times the body of Christ as well, it's National Ice Cream Day, so this is a good illustration. I don't like all these holiday things they throw in and they're trying to get us buy more cards, but you know, I actually like this one. National Ice Cream Day, I think that's a good one. But I kind of think of it sometimes as like 31 flavors. You know, I may not like every flavor in the ice cream shop, but you know what? I like ice cream, and it's all ice cream. Sometimes we get so persnickety about all that. We've got to, man, if we're proclaiming Jesus and that we know him as our personal Lord, we've got certain tenets that we have to embrace and stay with. But there's a universal church, comes in different flavors, but it's all ice cream, right? It's all part of the body of Christ. Well, one day, that the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, lives inside of me, the thing is, you see, that which restrains is your knowledge of this word illuminated by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Because you see, the thing is if Antichrist came on the scene right now and started to do what Antichrist is going to do, even in the very beginning, that first 3.5 years, you would know it. You would know exactly who that was and exactly what they're doing. And all of a sudden, you are a whistleblower. God help us, I hope so, right? You would be a whistleblower. And this is why that has to come out of the way, so that he can have free reign and do all these things and orchestrate all this stuff. Now, how are they going to explain your departure so suddenly and my departure so suddenly? That is going to be fascinating to watch. I have no answer for that. I just know that that's going to be explained away somehow. I don't know whether astronauts are going to come and get all of us. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying that's what they might say. I don't know. That could be bad news. That could be confusing. I do not believe astronauts are coming to get any of us. I'm saying I think it is possible they may say something like that. Or that isn't this great? This plague affected all of these people that, you know, needed to be removed because they need to be purged from the earth. I don't know what they're going to come up with. It doesn't matter. But there's going to be some people digging around, and they're going to find some of these laying around. I write in my Bible. I hope you do. The words contained in here and the intent in them are sacred, holy, and will stand for all eternity. But it's just ink on paper otherwise. You can write on it. I want somebody to find this. because in this, they would find the notes of what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. How they're going to survive it? Likely beheaded, but have everlasting life. So, if you have kids that are not walking with God, I would encourage you to leave a nice note and tell them where it is. I'm not joking. I take it that seriously. I'd make sure people know the truth and where they could find the truth. Let's read it again, verse 6. Because it's exciting, that's why. And now you know what is restraining. Bing, the lights came on. And now you know what is restraining. That he, small h, may be revealed in his, small h, own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, capital H, who now restrains, will do so until, capital H, he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. Read Revelation 19 sometime. And destroy with the brightness of his coming. You remember how he makes war? And he just speaks, and it brings utter destruction. He's that powerful, Jesus is, as he comes in on the white horse, and we're following behind. That's exciting stuff. Again, if you get to go to Israel sometime with us, man, what a great trip to be able to look out over the Valley of Megiddo, where this whole culmination of all of this is going to take place, ultimately. The lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The light. As soon as the light is shown, what happens when light is shown? It exposes everything going on in darkness. The light comes on, we see everything for what it is. Man, the brightness of the presence of the Lord exposes. And this is why it's important for us to ask the Lord, man, Lord, make sure you shine the light of your love and your grace and your goodness in my heart. You look into my heart. You decide what's going on inside there, Lord. Reveal to me, you know? Because the Lord's light is the bright light that exposes the deeds, the things done in darkness. The coming of the lawless one in verse 9 is according to the working of who? Satan. With all power, signs, and lying wonders. Again, I encourage you to go through. You can read about various things that the Antichrist will do and how these things go. I mean, this is part of it. Again, just signs and wonders are to follow believers. Signs and wonders are to accompany or follow with a believer. That God does works, supernatural things even divine healings and touching, all kinds of things. That happens, that follows those who are following the Lord. The danger is because oftentimes we're kind of given this instruction that we're supposed to follow signs and wonders. The interesting thing, go back a little bit in your Bible and think about that. Is that really what we're supposed to do? What happened with those who had there is no people group on the face of the earth that have seen more signs and wonders than the nation Israel being delivered out of Egypt? No one has seen more signs and wonders than that group. Why couldn't they enter in to the promised land? Does anybody remember what was the reason? What were they told? Because of unbelief. A lack of faith. They couldn't enter into the fullness of what God had for them. And yet they had seen more signs and wonders and been exposed to more. Because that in and of itself doesn't build our faith. How does our faith build? Faith comes by hearing and word of God. This is why it's so important. This is why we spend time in the Word, going through the Word, teaching the Word, and soaking up the Word, is because, man, that's really what's going to build my faith. Now, as I'm in the Word, oftentimes, the supernatural, I'm going to be able to watch God do radical things around us as believers. But we're not to chase after the signs and wonders. The signs and wonders accompany a believer. It's important to note that and think through it. I'll let you guys sort some of that out and work through that. But I think it's something to think through and process a bit. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. This is a thing that because they're signs and wonders doesn't mean they're always from the Lord. I'm not saying that's true amongst, you know, Christians. I'm saying that that can be true with the occult and different things. There's a lot of things that can go on that are signs and wonders that have nothing to do with God. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because, you know, why is there this unrighteous deception, and why are they perishing? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Do you realize we have to, others would have to, not hopefully none of us, but you, a person has to earn their way to hell. You have to actually have to work at getting to hell. You have to constantly reject the message of the love of God and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to constantly push it away, constantly push it away. You have to work at pushing this away. And ultimately, God honors that choice that you make. He will affirm that choice that you make. He will make strong that position that you've taken. So God doesn't really send anyone to hell. I think that's a misquoted statement. The Bible doesn't say that. He doesn't send anyone there. People choose on their own by rejecting the message of God's love, forgiveness, a life abundant here and now that we can have in his presence because of his grace, his unmerited love and favor toward us, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. I'd encourage you to read the first maybe five chapters of Romans in conjunction with some of this. It's very helpful. The depravity of man and the sin nature that's there. It's very helpful. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but instead had pleasure in unrighteousness. The danger of taking pleasure in unrighteousness. Things that are against the love of the Lord. Being a part of those things is dangerous. And this idea of the delusion that would come on them, you remember how it talks, as we read through the Bible, we find it talks about these layers of callous that kind of go on. Their hearts become callous to the things of the Lord. Constant rejection of God. Your heart, it's just like another layer. Constant rejection, another layer. Constant rejection, another layer. Pastor Jim, you seem like you might know something about this. Oh yeah, I've been that guy. I remember sitting on a bar stool. Probably close to 30 years ago now. Sitting there on a bar stool, rejecting God constantly. Having known God, but just keep rejecting. And I remember the Lord speaking to my heart, and I didn't know much of the word at all, but I remember Jesus speaking to my heart, the Holy Spirit coming alongside while I'm sitting there by myself, just having a couple of beers, and the Lord starts speaking to me. Hey, you're getting too far from the house, man. Not only if you're close to my age that you know, you remember you get too far from the house, you can't hear your mom calling you for dinner. I was interested in dinner. It mattered a lot to me to make it home for dinner. You're getting too far from the house. I was getting too far away, distant from the Lord. My heart was getting so callous, I couldn't hear him calling to me. I was getting too far away. I was rejecting him and rejecting him and rejecting him and rejecting him. And that layer got so thick, I couldn't hear his voice. And the Lord was just pleading with me, man, I'm coming to you. You need to listen. You're going to get so far, you're not going to hear. It literally scared the hell out of me. I mean that seriously. Literally. I just thought, oh my goodness. You know, and I started thinking about all this a lot. I mean, the hounds of heaven were after me until ultimately I just surrendered. So I'm done. This wretched mess called my life. There's no reason why you should want anything to do with this, God, because I've made a mess of it. but I want to give it back to you. Now that I've messed it all up, I'd like to give it back, you know, like any good person does, right? I borrowed the car, it's wrecked, now I'd like to give it back. You know, that kind of a thing. But the Lord, isn't he gracious and merciful and loving? Don't stop praying for those kids. Don't stop praying for that brother or that sister. You know, my older brother, God bless my older brother. When we gave our lives to the Lord, he was probably 17 and I was 12. He not once has ever looked back. He has been faithful, faithful, faithful. To the Lord Jesus Christ, he's been faithful. And I know for a fact that that guy prayed for me. He prayed for me every day. And he loved me even when I was in the world. He had a really lovely Christian gathering for his wedding. And I was the only one that was inebriated. No one knows that, except for you guys now. Because that's how I went to all functions or anything I could do. I just was inebriated. I got high, got wasted. I wasn't sloppy drunk or anything. I don't want to misrepresent myself. But the point is that somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for me. And that's why we're sitting here today. Somebody loves you. And it's Jesus Christ. And it's that body of Christ that continues to pray for others that might be strained, might be distant from the fold of God. I don't care what their story is. If you're distant from God, you're distant from God. And God still loves you, and God still's got a purpose and a plan. And God wants to bring forgiveness through repentance. God wants us to be reconciled to the family. God wants that. But that's our choice, and that's what's being described here. That type of a choice that was made. And by constant rejection, calloused hearts, and they perished. Now, that's not God's desire. God is not willing that any should perish, but he's not going to force himself on any. Forced love is rape. He's not going to do that. He's not going to spiritually do that to anybody. He wants you and I to choose him, to come to him. But we are all bound, in verse 13, to give thanks to God always for you. Brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. You chose God, you think, and then you realize all this time God had chosen you. It's not that confusing. You had a couple of weeks ago's message. John talked about it a little bit and was great. To which he called you by our gospel, the message. Somebody sharing that simple message for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. I love that. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught. It's basically not just the traditions for tradition's sake. He's talking about the things that were taught, the instructions that were given, the things from the letters like we're reading, those things that he was imparting to them. Hey, hold fast to that stuff because this is God-breathed. This is the living word. This is things being spoken by the Holy Spirit to us today, now. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our letter. This is why I charge the parents. This is why I charge you if you have children. Man, hold true to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Say and do nothing that would stain that it might represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, which you will, say and do something that will stain that, repent. Just repent and move forward with your life. You will do a great favor to your young people and people around you when you repent. Because when you repent, it reveals a desire to be reconciled because they're going to screw up too. And so if they know what to do when they screw up, it's going to be better. Or else we walk around thinking, oh no, I've not done anything. I'm not a part of that. That's not me. That's other people. Oh, really? That's not really the truth. Every person here has got the capacity for great and abundant sin. We all have that capacity. It's the sin nature we were born with. But as we're born again and we live the new life, right? We can walk in that newness and enjoy that newness. We can live it out because it's God in us moving through our lives for his glory. Oh, so this is what Paul's just giving praise to God for this truth. to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by letter. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. He is the one that's bringing that right comfort into our lives, that consolation and good hope. And it comes by grace, that unmerited love and favor. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. I like that. That comfort would come, and the comfort that he's referring to, you can read it in chapter 4 and chapter 5 of the first letter he wrote. Because he talked about comfort one another with these things. And he was talking about the rapture of the church. He was talking about the truth contained therein. And he's saying, hey, comfort each other with those truths. And so now he says, comfort your hearts that God would himself, through good hope and grace, comfort your hearts and establish you. And I like this. In every good word and work. The things that we're doing, motivated by the love and the grace and the mercy of God, motivated by those things, and the good word, the things that we share, that would be edifying, that would build each other up, that would encourage us to stay on that track that God's placed on, keeping on that trail, you know? Stay with it. That's what God's charge to us would be this day. Stay with what you know from the truth of God's word. Man, the hope comes from that. And never stop praying for those that you love and care about that are distant from God. Never stop praying for them. You might be that intercessory link, huh, that brings that connection to some of those brothers and sisters in the future. What a great hope we have in Jesus Christ. Father, it is our desperate desire this morning that as we think, many of us, back to that time where we were so distant from you and where we would, if not for your grace and mercy, you stepped in. You stuck your hand out to us when we were in the pit in life, literally. And you stuck your hand out to us. And all we had to do was reach out and grab a hold of it. And Lord, there were some of us that were unable to do anything but just barely lift up our arms, and you still reached down and grabbed us up under the armpits and picked us up out of the pit and set us on the rock, your rock. Lord, we're grateful to you for your mercy, for your kindness. We're humbled by that truth of who we are apart from you and how desperately we need you each and every day.